This episode of the Columbia Basin Herald's Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by the Moses Lake Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber works to help businesses in and around Moses Lake flourish through networking opportunities, member-to-member savings for products and services, and connecting businesses with the resources they need to make Moses Lake a wonderful place to live, work, and play. For more information, visit moseslake.com or call the Chamber at 509-765-7888. Again, that's 509-765-7888. Well, hello, everybody. This is Charles Featherstone. I'm a senior reporter with the Columbia Basin Herald, and we are Robless this week. So it is me, and it is Ian Bivona, our sports reporter, and Cheryl Schweitzer.
Star reporter.
And Joel Martin. So we are all three here. We are all four of us together in the
all
studio.
All for one for all.
All for one and one for all. We're going to talk a little bit, speaking of a wonderful place to live, work, and play, it was fair time last week, and we had a good time at the fair. So last week, that's right.
A little bit warm, but fun all the same.
It was a good time at the fair.
It was.
But learned a little bit this week. We've noted before in some of our coverage that it was a very good year. You know, we had a nice wet spring and a nice cool spring, which meant that we had lots and lots of rain, and that was good for dry land wheat farmers. But apparently, it was not so good for hay farmers and the cherry crop this year. Tell us a little bit about the cherry crop, Cheryl.
The cherry crop had some troubles. The original projection for the crop throughout the Pacific Northwest, which includes more than Washington, but Washington makes up 80%. The original estimate was around 14 million 20-pound boxes, which is how that is measured. The actual crop is probably more going to come in around 12.8 million boxes.
Okay.
And the reason was that, as you may remember, it snowed the same week as Easter.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that was when cherries were in bloom, and that caused all sorts of troubles. And one thing that some people don't really know about fruit farming is that you depend on bees to do your pollination. And when it's cold, bees want to stay home. And so it was cold during that period, as well as snowy and rainy, and the bees wanted to stay home. And because it was so cold, the cherries bloomed and then sort of went dormant again, and then some of them bloomed again.
Okay.
So it's been a challenging cherry year. As one grower put it, what cherry harvest?
Yes, I had heard someone at Columbia Pacific Aviation, they're the folks who load the large 747s up at the Port of Moses Lake with cherries off to China. They said they had a terrible year, and I agree, you know, that airplane, that big cargo 747, usually spends a couple of weeks here and makes repeated flights, and I only saw it once this year. So
yeah, that's not a surprise.
So, and this year's Hay King, who I have interviewed, and that interview will appear in the upcoming August edition of the Basin Business Journal, which will be out soon, Travis Herring. He's a farmer near George, and he said that the rain was particularly bad for the hay crop as well, and that almost seems counterintuitive, you know, lots of rain, lots of growth, but he said that turns out to wash out a lot of the nutrients, and that you have lots of hay, but you don't have as good hay. Hey, that's as good. So again, you know, good for the dryland wheat farmers who had more than enough moisture in their soil to get a good crop out of it. And I suspect we will see some very good numbers on the wheat, but he said it wasn't all that good for the hay.
And I should note that my story on the cherry harvest also will be in the Basin Business Journal.
Yes.
I would be curious to know about the effect on the fire season, though. You notice we haven't had the wildfires that we normally have this time of year.
No, we have not. We've had some, and you can smell it a bit in the air, but
it's not like you can walk outside and pound a nail in the smoke and hang your hat on it.
Yeah.
Like you've had so many summers in the past.
Yeah. Or you know, you go outside and it's raining ash, or you know, it smells like you're in a fireplace. So it's been a very good year for that so far. We've had some fires down by Lind in the Vantage Fire, but we've not had very many large fires. So that has been very, very good, although I understand that there has been some concern because the amount of rain led to a lot of growth, and once that dried out, because it has been a dry summer, once that dried out, that has created a lot of tinder.
Thereby setting the stage for next year's fire season.
Indeed, indeed. Also appearing in this upcoming issue of the Basin Business Journal will be a fuller version of my excursion down the Snake and Columbia Rivers with Shaver Transportation on the barge Lincoln, talking a little bit about what it takes to get a bushel of wheat to market, which is a lot, and the importance of the barge systems and barge transport to getting Eastern Washington wheat to market. A good portion of the crop is exported, and a good portion of the Eastern Washington crop doesn't get to market by truck or by rail. It gets, about 60%, I understand, gets to Portland and to other, some of the other large facilities that load freighters, bulk freighters bound for export. Gets there by barge, and it was an impressive journey. A lot of time in dam locks. One of the interesting things is that Rob Rich, who is the vice president for, I believe it's upriver maritime operations. That's right. Said that the Snake River is basically not navigable without the four lower dams. That, you know, 100 years ago, you could send a paddle boat, a very shallow draft paddle boat up, but a very shallow draft paddle boat could only sometimes make the Snake River, and you couldn't make that the basis of hauling things productively.
Is that the most economical way to get the wheat to market?
It is. It's the most efficient use of fuel by far. It takes less fuel to get a ton of grain, even with as much fuel as a tugboat will use. It takes less fuel to get a ton of grain a mile downriver. So. Yep.
How far up is the Snake navigable? I know you started at Central Ferry.
My understanding is it's navigable up to Lewiston, and that wheat comes down from northern Idaho and as far away as western Montana. I mean, it comes in by truck or by rail and gets loaded there. Apparently, because rail cars are scarce, the rail system's really backed up and heavily trafficked, and there are other commodities. Those rail cars get saved for things like soybean and corn, Midwestern soybean and corn, that, you know, will get packed in Chicago and places like that, and then shipped out. So,
I have to say, reading your account of this trip, I'm really envious. I'm sure it involved a lot of long, boring hours watching other people work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I grew up near the Columbia Gorge, and that is just most gorgeous country in the world.
And some of it gets really, really dark. I mean, there were a couple of stretches where, you know, for the first 12 hours of my trip, we didn't have any cell phone coverage, and it was just pitch dark. And then there was another stretch along that was on the Snake, and then there was another stretch on the Columbia River itself that was also pitch dark. It was gorgeous being able to step outside and see stars and. Mm-hmm. Because even as rural as Moses Lake is, it's fairly bright here.
Yes. Which you don't realize until you get out, from everything. Yes.
Which you don't realize until you get out. Well, thank you very, very much. We will continue next with Ian to talk about sports.
Perfect.
The next segment of the Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by the readers of the Columbia Basin Herald. The paper serves the entirety of Grant and Adams counties in central and eastern Washington, which has strong traditions in agriculture, industry, and taking care of one another. The Columbia Basin Herald is grateful to our readers for their support and to our advertisers who support our efforts to keep the communities we serve informed. So what's going on in sports this week, Ian?
Well, there's a lot of things going on between both pro, college, and high school sports. It's nice to get back into the swing of, you know, high school sports getting back started with kids going back to school in the next week or so.
Yeah, I saw kids showing up at Lions Field the other day for football practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so next week we'll have our Gridiron Guide. It's basically our coverage of the 8 football teams that we cover here at mm-hmm. the Columbia Basin Herald. We did a lot of good reporting. Still have a couple teams to do, but we're looking forward to attending some of those jamborees this weekend and really kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of football season. Going to be a lot of coverage coming up. I know Cheryl and Rebecca have done a good job helping me in covering some of
Thank
the football
you.
Camps and talking with some of the coaches. A lot of new coaches here in the basin. Soap Lake, Afreda, and Quincy all have new football coaches this year, and they're all kind of instilling their values into their program coming
okay.
up. So it'll be a good football season here in the basin, and we're looking forward to it. And then moving on to pro stuff a little bit, the Mariners, they had that huge winning streak
mm-hmm.
before the All-Star game, 14 wins in a row, one shy of the franchise record. But since then, it's been a little up and down, so to say.
Yep.
Over their last 32 games since the All-Star break, they're 17-15. And they kind of, you know, they've had good series against the Yankees, which are important series, but then they've kind of come back down to earth a little bit against maybe some of the lower tier teams in baseball. But, you know, that's part of injuries and stuff as well. Julio Rodriguez missed a couple games. Ty France has missed a couple games. But they're still in a good position. They still hold that last wild card spot in the American League, and they have a 2.5 game advantage over, I believe it's Baltimore, who is the
mm-hmm.
team below them. But as long as they keep kind of doing what they're doing, you know, it seems that it'll be working until it gets to the end of the season, which is about a month and a half left, I think. But obviously you want to see that a little more improvement, a little more stability. You don't want to kind of just be slacking off a little bit as the playoffs start. And it's been quite a while since the Mariners have been in the playoffs. So
it would be nice to see.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see for a lot of Mariners fans around here.
A little bit of encouragement, just a ray of hope.
Certainly, yeah. And speaking of playoffs, the Seattle Storm are in the second round of the WNBA playoffs.
Oh, nice.
They're facing off. They begin their series against the Las Vegas Aces on Sunday, and they are 1-3 against the Aces all
mm-hmm.
season. So that's kind of, they got their work cut out for them, so to say. The series begins on Sunday, and then they'll play again Wednesday and next Sunday as well. First two games will be in Las Vegas, and then this next Sunday game will be in Seattle.
Okay.
So it's the first of three, so it's a best of five series. Whoever wins the first three games, they'll advance on. The next one will be going home. So Seattle's got a lot of good talent this year. Breonna Stewart, she had that big award win, you know. And then this is Sue Bird's last season with the Storm.
Okay.
Before she retires. So I know they want to send her off with a nice...
It would be nice to have...
A blaze of glory.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
A trophy to show for one's career.
Definitely, yeah. And then on to the Seahawks. They have their last preseason game tonight against
okay.
Dallas at 5 p.m.
How have they been playing in preseason?
So they're 0-2 in the preseason,
okay.
but good thing preseason records don't count. You know? but a lot of it's just kind of figuring out who your guys are going to be on the roster. The rosters have to be cut. There are 80 players right now. They could be cut to 53 by Tuesday.
Okay.
So a lot of attention is going to be on the quarterback battle. Geno Smith's going to be starting on tonight's game, but Drew Locke's going to see a lot of playing time, which will be important, especially because he missed last week's game with he got COVID, so he missed a little bit there. And then the regular season, that'll be in 2 weeks. They'll start on Monday Night Football against Russell Wilson and the Broncos.
Okay.
And that game will be here in
oh
Seattle.
My.
Yeah. So, you know, the NFL was really, they were onto something when they put that schedule together. You know? So then moving on to college a little bit. College football starts this week.
Mm-hmm.
No Washington teams are playing this week, but there's a pretty odd game, I guess you could put it. Interesting game. Northwestern and Nebraska are playing in Dublin. I thought Dublin, Ireland. Yeah, I thought that
an exhibition match in Europe.
Not
even
Yeah,
Ireland doesn't have its own violent sports.
Or enough.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit of an attention grabber. I was looking at the schedule. I was like, "There's no way that's right." So I had to do a little research on my own. But yeah, pretty cool. And then next week, that's when we'll get the Easterns and the Washington States. They'll be kicking off their seasons. Soccer and volleyball are going on right now for college. I know they play games throughout the week for both for all Central, Eastern, Washington State, and more. So they'll be carrying on throughout the season, and we're looking forward to covering some of those games as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you very, very much. And thank you, all of you, for spending a little time, and thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. This Studio Basin podcast is produced by the Columbia Basin Herald, a local newspaper serving Grant and Adams counties in Washington State. Our publisher is Clint Schroeder, and our regional general manager is Bob Richardson. Our managing editor is Rob Miller. Hi, Rob. Sorry you couldn't be here today. And our reporting staff consists of senior reporter Charles Featherstone, senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer, staff writer and paginator Joel Martin, staff writer Rebecca Penningill, and sports reporter Ian Bivona. The Columbia Basin Herald is published 5 days a week in print and online. The paper's website is www.columbiabasinherald.com. To provide feedback on the paper or the podcast, please email us at editor@columbiabasinherald.com. Thank you for listening.